Accession number 18252, reel 5.
Cronin, Connolly, Stewart, were killed, Dodger Green, and then there were a lot more intelligence section than me who were wounded, you know. So when I got to the chateau where they had it, literally 2 miles away again, 2 miles away, and they took us in, gave you what do you call it, tetanus injection.
TAB, I think, is it? Something like that?
And I can see then, I can remember some of them then, they were sewn up along the floor in blankets, you know, as they brought the dead in.
So what happened? So a shell must have dropped on the...
It hit the headquarters. Yeah.
And some bit of shrapnel or something has gone through your helmet, the little hole on one side, and possibly come out the other side, made the big hole completely out the side. And luckily missed your skull, perhaps by a fraction of an inch or something.
So when I get to the hospital, this is what they tell me. Yeah. So I got on the then the ambulance come up with that many cannibals. Only 300 replacement tests when you
came.
So we were packed. So we sat up and then we were that bad, you know, and it strung us along until we got to a van stretch station or four, wherever else it is. And they took us into a small house and they gave us a drink of hot tea, they were good. And he came along the doctor, so what's he doing up there like that? Get him on the stretcher. I can remember putting him on the stretcher and he checked me and was great on that to go. So off we went and it was in the ambulance, and I can remember keep going off, you know. Going back, I keep going conscious. And I remember the door sliding open, Sibby's pushing us.
Yeah.
And the vents who arrived to this place, anyway, took us up with the Boy Scouts, it was, or something. And we got into the hospital, and the doctors come, and they're putting coins in your hands, and pricking your ear.
To see if you've got any feeling.
Yeah, to see where the head, you know, wound and inspect. And then I remember doing this to test my eyes, you know, the lateral.
So what happened? Did you have a wound on your head?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, right near, they said, we think you've been lucky.
Yeah.
But we'll find out tomorrow, you know. So if anything you want, you can have. I don't want anything. So they gave me this here. The sister come along, give me this white one at work. She gave it in the foot, he couldn't bike.
Yeah.
So all of them, you're bloody for it now. You know. So they came up morning and they shaved my hair off.
Yeah.
And then they took us in, but they don't give you, they give you a local anaesthetic.
Right.
So they close it all around the head.
Yeah.
And he cleaned it up. And then I went back for about a week.
Right. And where was that? Would that have been in Huy, where you were then? Because the battalion...
I mean, 8th British General.
Brussels,
8th British General, Brussels.
Because after the Ardennes, the battle that you've started to describe there, going down to Griedmont, the battalion went back to Huy, didn't they? For R&R and to refit, and you mentioned replacements, and they took in about 250 replacements at that time, didn't they?
So, in the 8th British General... And there was Scottish Red traps in, the Welshmen in, Welshmen were all, you know.
Yeah.
So, and there was some of them in months, they couldn't move. Anyhow, we were there, he came and he said he'd be back in England in a few days, nearly.
Mm-hmm.
But they must be using penicillin then.
Yeah.
And, but I lost my sight, went.
Yeah.
Not all together, like a mist.
Yeah.
And then gradually it cleared.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, go out here, you don't get outside. So I went down Brussels and got my hair tidied up. And then after about a fortnight, they moved us out and we went to Louvain.
Louvain.
In the camp there, they said, oh, you've 10 days, excuse all duty. 4 days, we put on the draft and I was sent to Burgleopold.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good friends with the Scotsmen and the Welshmen, great friends.
Yeah.
So I went to... Oh, well, when I was at Louvain, we came out of the station. It had been money I'd been spent. I had.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cold then. Dark and miserable and damp. And we'd done what they made us. They marched us up to the camp from the station. Well, when we were going up the road...
When was this? Did this be what? So the end of January? Or middle end of January?
Towards the end of January.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd been about I know it's 43 weeks.
Yeah.
So they marched up this road, and halfway up they said, oh, look, there's a shop here open that's selling apple pie, apple topies.
Yeah.
And I could smell them hot, and hungry, and I haven't got anything on me.
Bet that, yeah, that probably smelled good then as well, didn't it? Yeah.
So they stopped, halted, and they went in. I always remember this, and I hadn't the thing, I'd treat him, and this lad came out, and he was me. And he said, here, I've got one for you.
Oh, that was nice. That was nice. Yeah, yeah.
There's a goal for you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So we marched up to, I remember him. So we went up to camp, moved to Beverly Airport. There. You always find to go into the regiment because you know, and even if they're all changed, you see the regiment, you know. Yeah. They put on 1st Battalion East Lancashire. So I joined them back in Helmand.
Oh, in Helmand, yeah. Helmand, that's after they left Hui. Went to Helmand, which was, again, the build-up for the Reich Bulb, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Yeah.
So there, when they got nothing to do, no duty, left me alone. So I'm going up the stairs, just coming down with Major Griffin, he's up, he's me, when he said, "Near it, how are you?" I said, "All right, sir, where do you get it?"
Yeah.
3 days, they're stuck into the Reich Bulb Forest. Company clerk Dickie Hyde said to me, 5 days on leave, England. So I'm with confidence, and you're also the CO's operator.
Yeah.
So for the initial attack into the Reich Bulb Forest, I was his operator.
Right. Yeah. Which was that you went in there about the 8th of February.
That's right.
When you went in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we progressed along with all sorts of different difficulties. So I got right through to the far side of the Reich Bulb Forest. And he said, John, today you better go to the mental aid base just to get checked with the doctor you're okay for going home, not to leave.
Yeah.
So I trotted down there. He said, okay, come back. We're expecting the Seeker Mess to come up with his regiment quartermaster to come up with his truck, and he'll take you back to Nijmegen.
Yeah.
But he didn't come.
Right.
So John May said to me, well, go back to the crossroads further down where there's a RDSC there, and you get you down to.
Yeah.
So I went down.
Yeah.
You're led dead up. Went down.
Yeah.
So I get down to this crossroads, and when I get to the crossroads, there's a few VRs there, one Nobby Wilcock, who I mentioned. He said, well, I'd take you back if I could, but I can't take you back. He said, you have to, you know, go over to them and ask them. So I goes over and see these lads, have you gone into Nijmegen? Well, the ring officer, because he could think you were deserted.
Yeah, of course, that's right. Yeah.
So he came on, he asked him a question. You know. Yeah. So I told him how it was. He said, well, we haven't won well midnight. He said, but what we'll do, we knew it would go back.
Yes.
So he said, you'll look exhausted. He said, we're bed for you in the marquee there, at a different war.
Yeah.
Lie down there, he said, we'll give you some to eat.
Yeah.
And they brought me a pot of tea and some all in stew.
Yeah.
And sleep will wake you when it's time. It's dead.
Well, what date was that roughly then?
Well, I can't remember. Go through. What date did we attack?
Well, you went in on the 8th, and you. And
that would be the 13th or 14th.
Yes, because it lasted for about a week. That's sort of
right.
Forest thing,
that's
didn't
right.
it? So 13th to 14th.
So 5 days. It did.
Yeah. So what you're saying there? What he's just said to you when he said you look exhausted because you've only touched on going through the Reich Bulb, haven't
that's
you?
That's right.
But that 5 days going through there. In the you know the terrible conditions, the water,
that's
the
right.
rain, and so on and so forth, and the fighting inside the forest, I guess, must have been horrendous for 5 days.
Shocking. That's where you shut up again.
Yeah, I noticed your mind shut off there.
Yeah, shut up.
Because what you just basically said was, we went in the forest for 8 days, and then we had a bit of fighting, and then we got through to there,
that's
and
right.
that was 5 days.
That's right.
And a lot happened during
that's
that
right.
5 days.
Well, I went again. Forward, right in the middle of it, right forward, and down they come with the shells and everything else, and went off, and these stretch bears came past this lad going past me, and he's going to pass, and I looked at him, and there's blood in the stretcher, he's bleeding that bad, and I thought, God, you know?
Yeah.
When he gone past me, I knew him,
and I
turned back, tried to get in, I couldn't see, I couldn't do it, because they were he called Alan Roach.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I get back, and they wake me up at midnight. They said, here you are. They gave me 200 cigarettes and all.
Yeah.
I thought they were bloody all right.
Yeah.
So I got in the cab with them, and they took them off to Nijmegen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're going through the water, you know, it's water on the road.
Yeah, because it was waterlogged, wasn't it?
Shocking. Yeah. So as a vehicle comes again alongside, and they said, oh, that's your quartermaster, Captain Moore. He said, "We've got one of your chaps here." So we've had a bit of, I'd been in the ship, wouldn't I?
Yeah, if you'd been a deserter, you'd been in the ship then.
Yeah. He said, "Who is that? It's near here." He said, "Oh, are you coming on here with us?"
Yeah.
I said, "No, I'll stop where I am."
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "Well, when you get there, it's only up the road, just come in."
Yeah.
So I got out, he dropped me off outside, I went in, the storeman, A echelon.
Yeah.
We're called Jimmy Green. So he's waiting and he said, "Give me some blankets." He could see, he thought I would love it. He said, "Go to over the cook house." And he said, "Over the top of it, it's nice and warm." So I went and slept over the cook house. Got a bit more, I was in shave, had me burger, that's your porridge.
Oh yeah, burger, right.
Some rain. And felt fresher. So I trots out then and going round the echelon. So who do I meet? But one of the signals, I don't know where he'd been on me, but what he was called, Frank Elliott. Known him years, and we also from his calling him Enoch. He used to talk. You remember Enoch at Wise, wouldn't they, would you?
Enoch of who?
Enoch, they called him. He used to talk. Hello.
I can't think where I know that Enoch from, but it does ring a bell somewhere.
But he talked like that, we used to call him that.
Yeah.
So he seen me, he said, "Hey, dummy, you do look bad." I thought, "Thank you." I thought, "That's charming, is that?" So I went around and 2 days, and the who did I come across at the echelon but Thompson, him that reported this to the signal officer, and caused all that bother.
Yeah.
But see, he said, "Hey, go on, leave Tommy, right, but I'll leave you, all right."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." So I went, so he said, he went with me, he said, "Have they all come in from the companies that are suited for leave?" He said, "Oh no, there's two or three haven't come." He said, "Well, I'm doing another solo and can't you get me on?" He bloody got on.
Yeah.
And he came back to me with me on leave.
Right.
So we got, in Gilders, we got equivalent to £40, which is a lot of money really.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Yeah.
And we came from there, stopped at Burgh Leopold, down on the train to Cali, Cali to London, up on the train to Manchester to home.
Yeah.
7 days, bad weather, so I got a day extra.
Yeah.
Come back, met him in Manchester. A day late, get to Echelon and move up.
Which is back in Nijmegen.
I did move forward then the Italian had started to go into Gok, into the Ockwall layback.
That's right. That's when you, the forest has gone, you've gone through the forest. The battalion finished up on the south east corner of the forest
That's right.
And then they went through for the to prepare for an attack on Wies.
That's right. Well, that's right up on the right now.
Yeah.
So I joined them just before they went to attack into Gok. I met him there and he said, "I'm not going back up there. This is him."
He's saying to you,
I said, "I don't blame you. He said, "Blind for compassion, so he didn't really come." So anyhow, I goes forward and I'm at rear battalion headquarters. So a truck comes down this track like the clap. There's not a truck, a jeep, it's a signal jeep. And Jock Burns, who I'd known years, who was an NCO, brilliant chap, come around and I said, "Hey, Jock, pick me up, you know."
Yeah.
And he just went round, bugger, I thought, "You silly bugger, not picking me up. What are you doing? Kicking me out of it."
Oh, right, yeah.
But Gormley's me didn't realise that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's thinking, "No, I don't need to pick you up. You stay where you are. You're better off there."
That's right.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but by that time, the bad fighting had finished, hadn't it, in the Reichswald?
Well, the Reichswald had finished.
Because you're in Gok, which Gok was ruins, wasn't it? It was rubble, really. And you were just preparing to go through, as I said, to Wies. So there was no real desperate fighting that the Italian was involved.
Shocking.
We're in Gok.
Yeah, and before and after.
Oh, right.
I'll think of the name in a bit, but we'll go through it after.
Yeah. Shadanov Kusanov.
That's it, that's where the fighting was.
Shadanov Bridge.
That's right.
Yeah, but at that stage where he saw you and he was keeping you out of it, there was no fighting at that moment, was there?
Well, I was there, they were doing it then.
Got it, okay. That's where they were.
That's where they were, and I was back.
Got it, okay.
And he wouldn't pick me up, and I didn't realise, you see.
Yeah.
So I got forward eventually by another way, and eventually I got to the tiny quarters, only a day or so later.
Yeah.
And when he got to headquarters, even that many, John Bennett said, "Would you go to B Company, Tommy?" So I did, and I joined them, and we went into Galvin.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where the Americans linked up with you, basically.
That's right, and I was under patrol that morning when we met.
Oh, I'd like to know the story of that.
The line, yeah. And what happened, I was with Tanny Porter's then, so as usual, we were laying the communication, and it was like bridges, and I remember these horses in the track dying, been shot,
Germans.
And we crossed over, they took part of it, and as we were going down the road, there'd been a bit of firing. It was still dark, in the dark, and it stopped. And there were the Yankees, and we joined up, I think, the 9th Army, I'm not quite sure. I'm not positive on that, but it was Yankee Army anyhow.
134th Battalion, or Regiment, I think it was, but I think they were part of the 9th Army, yeah.
Yeah, so we joined up with them. So they said, we'd go to B Company, so I joined B Company, and we went from there through the woods, and we're going to go through the woods, we went on the road. And as we went on this road, the Royal Welsh Fusiliers, I think it was, for the Welsh Regiment, had been going in front of us, leapfrogging, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And right on the crossroad, they got it, and the CO and a lot were all killed, and they the side of the road.
Mm.
We went through them, and then, am I right, it was Isham and Potterson.
That's
I think.
It, you're right. It was Isham first. Geldon first, then Isham,
that's right.
Potterson.
Yeah, we went right from there up to the banks of the Rhine.
At Potterson, you were taken then out of the line.
That's right.
Because the battalion had been in action for about 40 days
that's
or
right.
something, right through the
Rhine
up to there.
So they pulled us back, we're in a farmyard for a while with the company.
Lullingdon you went to.
That's right. That's
four
right.
days
yeah.
in Lullingdon.
Yeah. But we had a good rest and a clean up there.
Clean up there before that's you right. went back to, I think, Nijmegen for more rest, wasn't
no,
it?
No, no, we went down to Belgium. We went to
Brussels.
About 12 miles out of Brussels.
That's it.
B Company was stationed at a place called Eskener, E-S-C-H-E-N.
Yeah.
Britannic Quarters was a place called Thorlfield.
Yeah.
Can I not know the communication? That's how I know, you see.
Yeah.
And I think we're about 9 days there, something like that.
Yeah, it might have been a bit longer than that.
I was there for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
See, I remember, and they see the dates. And for date St. Joseph, which is the 19th of March.
Oh, right, yeah.
17th and 19th of March. And about 2 days after that, we set back to go across the Rhine.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. You had that rest in Belgium, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
In Brussels. There was various places there. A Company were in a place called Heckelgem.
That's right.
Heckelgem. Eskene for B Company, as you said.
Yeah.
And in Brussels, so you're there for 10 days.
Yeah.
And then you want to go back a stage, don't you, to
just
the Ardennes?
Just something to remind you about the Ardennes.
Yeah.
You know it does.
Yeah.
After we got through to this first position, before we attacked Rubemont, I said we'd been held up with a shot on us, hadn't we?
Yeah.
When we were now with the rifle, weren't I?
Yeah.
Well, they came up laying a line after from rear battalion headquarters to us. But while we were in this here opening where we'd done for a few days, Dodger Green and another chap came up, and he came up to me and he said, "Tommy," I said, "what's to do with you?" He said that, it's for your information, it's not really, that bloody sod, exactly said, who really got killed, Hawkins, and that Tommel, he said they bloody run away and left us. He said we came up, and when he got so far, the Germans came out with the guns, and they fired at him. And it's where it happened to us, you see.
Yeah.
And he said, he dropped down, he said, and Hawkins stood up and shouted, "Comrade." And tell you what he said. He said, and Sam Jackson, the sergeant, pulled him down, "Get bloody down," he said. So they fired again, through knowing where they were. And young Wally, him as I had on the exchange when I took him off, was killed.
Yeah.
I like a great man called McQuillan, he was killed. There's another one killed. Sergeant Jackson were badly wounded. What do you call him? Hawkins is in harm. So Tomo said, "Come on with me," and he took him down and went out and was fighting again.
Yeah.
So that's summertime just finger. So a few days after it were all over, now in hospital, he'd looked through his kit, Hawkins, and he'd wiped his whiskey for him.
Oh, right.
So they inquired, and they, through Setry, you've heard him mention.
I know of Setry.
Major
yeah.
Setry.
Yeah.
And they asked him about his kit. He said, "I don't want to know about that man, I don't want to know anything."
Yeah,
that was the end of him, never seen him again.
Yeah. Just a few words about Setry, because it's the first time you mentioned Setry. But I know he still goes to your reunion dues, doesn't he? And I know that he's held in very high regard by us, you guys, isn't he?
He's got to be racial.
Yeah, and he got wounded, and I think I guess that was the end of his war. Very soon in your story, because when you the next stage from Brussels is you go to cross the Rhine, and just after you cross the Rhine at a place called Bocholtz. He gets wounded and back to Blighty, I guess, stage.
We've been wounded previously to that.
Right, yeah.
Anyhow, so we're coming to cross the Rhine, aren't we?
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're at B Company, said first, in Eskola.
Yeah.
So we move back, to the place where we fought, until we come near the banks of the Rhine. So they called our group for the signals and all, because we've got a new type of radio. It used to be the old 18 set before. This one was a 46 set, and it was crystal where your two frequencies could switch one to the other, no fiddling with it. So he made it round, so John Bennett looked open and he's listening out. So he said, "Tommy," he's telling you, but he was a great friend, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you go and take charge of the company? Yeah. Because, you know, they're all reinforcements.
Yeah.
I said, right, Tom, right, so who comes up then? I've just come back from Lee from England. My old friend Dickie Lee, who'd been at the company, and then he got on leave, come back, and that's him who's in the water up to here.
Oh yes, in the trenches, up to your necks.
Lee, go to A Company. Nay, come with you. Nay, there's a fella here who's never been to a company.
Right.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Oh, I'd love one, please. Oh, cup of tea is fine. Thanks, lovely.
All right, love. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, they'll have a can of beer if that's
Might as well. I'll have some more than...
It's not cold, because that's...
No, that's fine.
Some Daniel Twaits.
Which one?
Twaits.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Daniel Twaits. So he said, John Mon's never been to a company. He said, that's nothing to do with you, Lee.
Yeah.
You do as you're told, man.
Yeah.
Well, can I go to D Company where I were? Now, A Company was set to do nose crackers. I said nothing. I didn't say nothing. I just said. So he went to A Company. And he'd been on me before when he couldn't find the weather set off net.
Yeah.
That we were all on there. So he went to A Company. And I took Charles at A Company, where one lad were 18 and the other one were called Jago. I don't remember his name. Mother. So off we goes. We went in the little crossing line. We crossed over by the bridge. And when we were off from the bridge head, we opened out there. So we went.
Can I just interject there a bit? Before you crossed that bridge at the Rhine, there were lots of gliders or airplanes going over, weren't there?
Which was the
airborne landing over the other side, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that when you got over, that was to secure the bridge on the other side.
That's right.
So you could cross the Rhine relatively.
Yeah,
really, I suppose.
That's right. Well, it was. Yeah.
Without opposition.
Well, it was only a matter of a mile, half a mile, and we went right in the shed again.
Yeah.
But it was just enough to.
Yeah, to get you over.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we crossed over by the Burley Bridge, and then we opened out. The company went along this road, went to the right, dug in for a bit. We only went a foot down it, and it was full of water. I all remember it.
Yeah.
A Company went to the left, so we went to the right and up this sandy track.
Yeah.
We're going up and the shells are dropping on us, and one of the lads said to me, "Look, Tommy," one of the stretch birds, so he said, "There's a line here," and it was a German telephone line.
Yeah.
So I said, "Have you got scissors there?" He said, "Yes, well, cut it." I said, "Cut it."
Yeah, why not?
Cut it and throw it. Yeah. And stopped the shelling.
Yeah.
So we advanced up the line again in information. We had the tanks with us.
Yeah.
We had a 6-pound anti-tank gun, a Jeep, and we had a compass squad plan.
Yeah.
Platoons.
Is this going up towards a place called Dingdon, do you think?
It would be.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's paint it a minute, they'll probably tell you.
Yeah.
So as we're going up, we're going about up to 300 yards up there, and there's a bridge ahead of us, and one of the lads at front shouted, "Tanks!" And there were German tanks.
Yeah.
So we turned round, and he said to the German behind us, to the left hand, thanks, where, he said, I remember it, where, he said, there, and he started back off the road, because they're frightened of not being under.
Yeah, sure.
And they opened up.
The tanks opened up?
The jerrys.
Yeah.
They were hit. They killed it. Three of the tanks went up in flame. The 6-pound anti-tank went up in flame. Yeah. The company Jeep went up in flame. Yeah. We were at the side of the road then, in the ditch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Some of them were wounded.
What tanks did you have then? Were they
Shermans?
They
were.
Yeah.
So they pinned us down. So we got through the edge to the right,
yeah,
and across the field into this house, farmhouse.
Yeah.
And we went up in the loft, a set.
Yeah.
And me and Mr. C and the lieutenant was the old C company then was called Major Duxbury.
Yeah.
But as they'd been someone got on leave, he took over as second in command.
Mm.
So Captain Corker then was OC company.
Mm.
But I'll think of his name in a minute, this left hand, they were up in the loft, so we could see the tanks.
Mm.
And but the battery had run down, and a brand new set. So I went back, he said, be careful and get the map if you can. I went back across the fields onto the main road to get the battery out of the Jeep.
Mm.
They were on fire, you know,
yeah,
jet tank. I dropped the battery and I got a map, but the better one, and I got back, put the battery in, set, got up into the loft, and we could see him. So he gave the map reference, I gave it over to them, they got the guns to fire, and we shifted them. So then, we found out that A Company had been flattened.
Yeah.
They got into the farmyard, the Major Secretary, CSM Montgomery.
Yeah.
Dickie Lee.
Yeah.
One called William Oddy.
Mm.
One Wainwright, and they were all killed by the secretary.
This is near a place called Hebbing.
That's right.
Mm.
So Dickie Lee, who said, well, let me go back to my own company, to Deacon, where I were, when he come back from leave in Blighty.
Yeah.
That I knew well.
Mm.
I went to D Company. He went to A Company.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, he wanted to go back to where he had no right. But I mean, I'm just trying to explain how life is.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And that grandma, he was. So we get up over the river.
Mm.
The river then and a bridge where this bridge was. We cleared them in the night and we tacked and took it.
Mm.
And then Charlie Hutton went up in there and he knocked the tanks out with a Fiat.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That was the first one.
Mm.
Now we go on again, and we go through all the places to try and think of.
Yeah, Bielefeld.
That's right.
And Bomez.
Yeah.
Bocken.
I remember that.
And then you went up to a place called Harks, eventually.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
What did you spell that out? Was it Bock?
Bock, Bomel.
Yeah.
Bielefeld.
Yeah.
B-I-E...
And the hospital there, we
Yeah, B-I-E-L-E-F-E-L-D.
That's right, yeah.
Bielefeld.
That's right.
Yeah. It looks like Bocken. B-O-C-K-E-N. Bocken.
That's right, yeah. With that many, I know one place we went on the railway in the night and we took the town.
Yeah.
Then I remember the crossings of the Weser.
Yes.
The canal and the river.
Yeah, I mean this was a little bit later, wasn't it?
That's
because
right.
Because what you did, I mean, from here, from this place, from Bocholt, Bocholt was probably the town you might be thinking of.
Well, that one, yeah. Well, that is where we went on the railway line in the night.
That's right.
We took it, and then it was a fire and we were all.
Yeah. But from there, from that sort of area, that part just after crossing the Rhine. Let me see. You went to the Ems-Weser Canal, basically. I mean, that was the next sort of action,
That's right.
As far as I know, main action that
That's
there
right.
was.